Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to continue now and get into specific teachings now. I'm going to cover 21 different mindsets, the difference between thinking biblically and looking at life from a Bible standpoint, thinking about yourself and the world from a Bible standpoint, as opposed to the new thinking that our young people sadly are being trained into, the mindset that's being presented by the humanist viewpoint. And this is all to help us trace back to where the problem is. Everybody can identify the problem. Nobody wants to identify accurately the source of the problem. Almost everything that the world is screaming their heads off in panic because it's going wrong, and they want to tell you what the problem is. They don't really want to hear what the answer is. And here we are in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, and the Bible says this: in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And there's two different ways of looking at the world and looking at yourself. One of them is presented by the humanist, and that's this, that this entire thing, and especially you as a person, are a mutative mistake. You are a mutative mistake, or the result of a bunch of mutations, things that went wrong, that happened to all work out right. You know, it's amazing when somebody has a... how can mutations advance a species? Very interesting. But, you know, when you're desperate, and this is what it is, folks. If you say, I refuse to believe in God, you have to come up with something. And I think the Lord just created this whole thing so that no matter what else you come up with, it makes you in the end look pretty stupid. And yet, they want to claim the intellectual high ground. We're going to talk about that today. But mutative mistake or divine design? Think about that. Now, how do I view the world? How do I view myself? Where did I come from? How did I get here? You know, people that are Bible believers just turn to Genesis and read the first three chapters and say, there it is. That's how we got here. Okay? And so you pray for me as we teach this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll help us, dear Lord, to continue to just look at life from a biblical standpoint. And Lord, it does create in us optimum mental health. Everyone seems to be worried about mental health, Lord, and yet our young people are being taught things, a viewpoint of life that is destroying their mental health. So I pray that you'll help us, Lord, as we look at this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we are more and more, we are watching parents in today's society have to make drastic decisions concerning the education of their young people. And I'm talking about Christian parents, but I'm not even talking about non-Christian parents. There are a lot of people that may not be born again, but they are taking a step back and they are looking at the way their children are being taught and indoctrinated and making even... you know, folks that maybe do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they just have some type of moral compass, some type of, you know, common sense, and say, do I continue to subject my children to this kind of level of indoctrination? And one of the things that, by the way, when you pray for me, because all 21 of these, I will tell you, almost everything that I'm dealing with counseling-wise, where people are being destroyed mentally, it's going back to these 21 mindsets. People that I know that I'm working on this, pastors that I know that I'm working on this, has called me and said, how do I help people that are, you know, this mental health issue, and people are coming in and they're so messed up in their thinking. And I said, somebody's got to create a curriculum that they can go through that rewires their thinking. And when we see new converts saved, you know, we used to see somebody get saved, new convert, you know what, we take them through a new convert class, 7 lessons, you know, and just teach them, you know, assurance of salvation, the basis for baptism, why do we attend the local New Testament church, you know, and let's go through the basic things. I will tell you, when we're seeing people saved out of the world that's been educated in the humanistic system, the new convert classes and the discipleship, individual discipleship curriculum that we're developing, is we're going to have to take this to a whole new level, because we have to undo. Somebody gets saved 28, 29, 30 years of age. We have to undo that many years of humanistic indoctrination to be able to get them just to begin to think correctly towards the Word of God. And so we're aggressively working towards that. One of the first things we have to really deal with here is this idea of where we came from. What do you really believe about where we came from? And it basically falls into two categories. It is the Bible teaching of creationism, and it is the world's teaching of evolution, or some form of evolution, by the way, which is the most unscientific set of, I will tell you this, I'm glad none of my kids had to go to the public school. I think God's will for me, knowing what I would be doing in life, he kept me in a public school system for the first 10 years of my education, 11 if you count kindergarten. And, I'm glad I sat in Shackamack High School biology class. I'm glad I listened to their best efforts to try to sell evolution. I've read on it extensively. We do not shelter our kids from that teaching. We allow them to take a course called scientific creationism that explains to them the tenets of the theory of evolution. I don't want them to be ignorant of it. I just want them to be able to biblically answer those things. And so, they're going to have to face it sooner or later. And so it's good that we expose them to it. I'd rather expose it to them in our arena and give them the ammunition to be able to answer it. But, what we have to do is get somebody to decide, okay, how are you going to view how you got here? Why is that important? Oh, my goodness. By the time I get done with this lesson, I think you're going to find out it's paramount in importance, because a kid is either being taught and believed that he's just the end result of a bunch of mutative mistakes, or he is a creation of divine design formed by the very hands of God. How you feel about yourself, that makes a big difference on which one of those viewpoints you take. And so when I was writing this, it's kind of interesting. I'll read a little bit about, I actually sat down New Year's Day and started writing this curriculum. And somebody asked me, where do you find time to write? And you know what I tell them? I write while you watch TV. You took your TV time and wrote, you could write as much as I do, all right? That's not to everybody, but that's to a lot of people. Amazing how people say they don't have time for stuff. You cut out nonsense out of your life and put that to productive means, and you know what? You'd be surprised what you could produce in a lifetime, you see. But I wrote this. I happen to be writing this chapter on the first day of the year, since it is my goal to read chronologically through the Bible each year. This morning I opened my copy of God's Word to Genesis and read these opening words. In the beginning, God created them, the heaven and the earth. In this chapter, I say I'm not going to debate the merits of creationism versus evolutionism. I'm just going to present the two alternative viewpoints. But one of the things that I believe with all of my heart, and you will never convince me of this, that this is wrong because I'm right. If you choose to believe in creationism, you will choose to believe in creationism by faith. If you choose to believe in evolution, you will choose to believe in evolution by faith. Matter of fact, I contend it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does divine design. It takes more faith. You have to have more leaps of faith in your belief system. There's less evidence. Not more evidence, less evidence of evolution than there is divine design. And so, by the way, the difference between us and them is that we freely admit it. Why do you believe in creationism? By faith. Well, where do you get that? Well, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. You see, we don't apologize or hide from the idea that what we believe by faith. By the way, faith's important. You can't be saved without faith. God constructed this thing that a man is either going to exercise his faith and believe in God believe in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, substitutionary atonement of Christ, that it was for my sins, believe by faith in his burial and his resurrection. Why do you believe all those things? By faith. Why do you believe them? Because the Bible said. Well, that don't sound very scientific. Well, neither does evolution. Okay, folks, listen to me. This whole idea of evolution being science, you know, there's too many holes in the theory of evolution to deem it scientific. Okay, think about this. When Charles Darwin wrote his thesis, his book, Origin of Species, he used the statement, let us assume, over 800 times in his book, let us assume. Now that means I don't have any proof of this, so I need you to just take a leap of 800 times. I could come up with my own theory of how we got here if I could get y'all to take 800 leaps of faith with me. I could pretty much weave any story I wanted to weave. And so the idea that, you know, they have the science and we don't have the science, I would contend that there's more science that backs it up. But I want to tell you this, just, you know, unashamed of it. I don't believe in creationism because of any science. I believe it by faith because the Word of God says so. I make a decision to put my faith and trust in the Word of God and its account of creation. Now let's look back real quickly at the creation story. We're in the first couple chapters of Genesis. So we believe, according to the Bible, that 6 days God created the heaven and the earth. He spoke into existence everything that he made except for man. He spoke into existence the earth, the heavens, the light, the waters, grass, herbs, fruit trees, all created by the words of God, created to produce after their kind. It's also true of the sun, the moon, stars, fowls of the air, fish of the waters, animals of the field. God said, and it was so. That's what we read. But wait a minute. This is why this could help young people to have a proper view and to have optimum mental health when they realize what a special creation they are. Then came the moment when God created mankind. Watch this. Everything stopped. Everything changed. Mankind was created differently and separately from anything that preceded him. Now go to Genesis 2, if you will, and let's look at verse number 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now listen, that is not a small thing, what just happened there. All of a sudden, God's going to make the crowning glory of his creation the only thing that he said, I'm making in my own image. And so what did he do? Divine hands created Adam. God did not speak Adam into existence. God reached out with his own hands. He carefully, specifically formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. Then God's divine lips breathed into Adam an immortal soul. Now listen, the idea that we're just animals. No, we're not animals. We're not the product of animals. We didn't evolve from animals. We are a special creation. Then when God had perfectly formed Adam into the first human, God bent down, breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. God's very breath, think about that. That's God's breath that entered into a man. Not only gave Adam life, but it imparted into him a never-dying, ever-living soul. You know what, folks? Animals don't have that. Animals don't have that. I need to remind American Christians. Animals don't have that. I'm not going to go on a rant again, but I am so tired. You know, let me tell you what's destroyed door-to-door soul winning? Come on. Animals in the house. Right. Do what you want to do. I'm just telling you, animals in the house is preventing bus workers and soul winners from sharing the gospel more than any other single thing right now. Animals in the house. Yes. I knock on a door, I can't carry on a conversation. They can't open the door because the dog's beating on the door trying to get out. If they do open it, they're holding the dog and they give me this much and I kind of slide it in. I can't talk to them about Jesus. I can't talk to them about the Lord. And it's gone crazy. Now, maybe you have a very well-behaved dog on the inside. Some of you are already offended. Get over it. Okay. Animals used to be outside. Humans used to live inside. And I mean this, I'm watching people treat animals better than they're treating human beings. Okay, and the thing about it is, if you'll cry when your dog dies and you don't cry when you read the obits and wonder not where, listen, that dog doesn't have a soul. Human beings have souls. I'm right now ready to make every Christian in America mad at me over this, because I'm sick and tired of people that can't shed a tear over a lost soul, and they'll rearrange their entire existence around an animal. You're to have dominion over that animal. That animal's not supposed to have dominion over you. And when we've got this thing backwards, it does find its roots in humanism. Okay, you know what? I keep a dog so it barks so that I know when someone's coming in the driveway. Makes my wife feel a little safer when I'm out of town. It eats dog food. No, I was literally in a house where a guy told me that every morning told me every morning he gets up and fries eggs and makes Roman noodles for his cats. I mean, I'm looking around for Rod Serling. I'm about three of you know what I'm talking about. Come on, Bill, Brother Bill knows what I'm talking about. Na 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 na. Am I in the Twilight Zone? Yeah, Rod Serling's the guy in the suit. Yeah, anyway, yeah, I know. You didn't know his name, right? Yeah. Okay, well. I'm practicing. I'm going to be on Jeopardy one of these days. It's trivial facts are very important, okay? Okay. I literally, my head's exploding. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do anymore. We're in such an upside down world. And I don't care if you've got a dog in the house to serve some purpose. But I do care if your life is being controlled by an animal. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to go on that rant, and I did. But anyway, God's divine hands created Adam. His lips breathed the Adam's immortal soul. You ever hear anybody say this? Well, I'm only human. Well, I'm only human. Like they're hiding behind their humanity to fail or to be less. We should never say I'm only human. We should square our shoulders up and realize the responsibility that comes with being human. Okay? When you say I'm only human, you're hiding behind something that shouldn't be an excuse to be less than what you could be. It ought to be a reason to be more. When we say we're human, we're saying we were formed by the hands of God. You say, well, that was Adam. No, Jeremiah chapter 1, your preacher teaches this. Jeremiah says that God formed him. God told him, I formed you in your mom's belly. I formed thee. God's hands still form every single human being. Okay, and you can come to me and say, well, what about the person that's born defective or born without this, born without that? Yes, God forms every human being according to his purposes, his will. And God is good all the time. And God is smarter than you and smarter than me and has purposes in everything he does. And don't throw an accusation against God. Okay, just because you can't see it don't mean if God wouldn't have done it, if it wasn't good and if it wasn't meant to advance his divine purpose in some way. Okay, we celebrate Cheryl's little brother. We don't mourn his existence. He was born mentally and physically handicapped and was one of the greatest gifts ever given to the Whittington family, and probably will get more rewards than most of us sitting in this room, because from what he had to what he did, he maximized everything. I don't know if I can say that. And so, you know, don't back down when people question these things. Oh, well, what about this? Well, yeah, God did that. He allowed that. Yep. That was part of his purposes. Well, why? I don't get it. Well, welcome to the human race. We're not supposed to always get it. See, so much of what happens in life, we judge by how it affects us. We cannot see the big picture of everything God's trying to accomplish. And when we get to heaven, we will have absolutely no questions once we see it from God's perspective of why he made the decisions he did. And so nobody in here has a right to carry an ought against God. I know I say this a lot, but I'm tired of God being put on trial all the time by people that are inadequate to judge God. All right? Nobody in here is adequate. His ways are so far above our ways, His thoughts so far above our thoughts. And so whatever God does, God's good all the time. God's good all the time. Okay, if I die a heart attack before this is, then God's good all the time. Okay, if I find out I got cancer tomorrow, God's good all the time. God's good all the time. Okay, if I lose one of my children or grandchildren in a car wreck tomorrow, God's good all the time. You might as well just settle it ahead of time so that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Preacher, yeah, I know, it's called grown-up Christianity. We need to get there. You know, folks, there are multitudes of Christians sitting home, bitter, sucking their thumb, carrying a grudge against God because there's something that happened in their life they don't understand. You're not supposed to understand it all. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So I'm not supposed to always understand. I'm supposed to trust. And God's got a plan. I'm sorry, but Grayson's not an accident. Jackson, my grandson, being born with a malformed heart was not an accident. God has His purposes, and He's working through that boy's life and touching other lives around him. We needed Him in our family. We still need Him in our family. We'll enjoy Him for as long as God gives Him to us, and none of us is mad at God over it. All right, so I want to settle that. Sometimes you get, and the reason I'm not stressing this because I don't think you don't believe that. I just think sometimes somebody asks a hard question, we back off as if, well, we can't put God in a bad light. I'll put God in a bad light. Okay, you know what? What God chooses, He chooses, you know. And He's got divine purposes for it. So God's divine hands, divine lips breathed into Adam an immortal soul. God's divine decree gave Adam responsibilities and dominion. God decreed that Adam would have dominion on the earth. God assigned Adam the responsibilities of oversight and maintenance and protection of the Garden of Eden, Adam's new home. God also gave specific instructions on what he was to eat, what he was not to eat. And that's all in chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, chapter 2. This is what we believe. I'm giving you a creationism view of life, okay? And so, you know, when we look at the resources that were put on earth, we don't flip out about, oh my goodness sakes, we can't use these resources. We need to turn off this pipeline. No, God put the resources on earth for us to use. Oh my goodness, you're a hunter. I seen the NRA sticker on the back of your, yes. The Bible says kill and eat. Amen. One of the few commands that I'm consistently good at obeying. Amen. Kill and eat. I mean, all of this nonsense that is being spewed out of the far left is a result of humanistic teachings and a humanistic viewpoint of the world. Okay? God put all of this stockpile and His wonderful grace stockpiled everything in the planet for our use. Okay? But if you worship Mother Earth, then you're all about protecting Earth. If you understand God created the Earth and stockpiled it, said to the men have dominion over it, to mankind have dominion over it, then you know what? You don't flip out about all of these things. Now, you know, the Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We're stewards. You know, I think those of us that ought to be the most careful when it comes to taking care of the environment, if we're going to take something out of it, then let's put it back the way it is, as close as we can. You know, folks, listen, you don't have to be a tree hugger not to throw paper out the window. Nothing infuriated me more as a young man walking up and down the little creek at the base of the hill in the property one in Brazil I was picking cans and bottles and trash out of the creek. And you know what? I never went to the university to learn I needed to do that. I did it because I was a born again Christian. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And since the earth belongs to God, I wouldn't walk in your house and throw trash all over the floor. I'd make sure it went into the right receptacle. I'm not going to walk on God's earth and throw trash. You know, this whole thing, it shouldn't have to be the far left that teaches us to keep a hold of your trash until you get home and walk in the house and take care of it. It's your problem, not somebody else's problem. So, I mean, these are just, you know, things that are common sense to those that have a biblical view of creation. And then God's divine plan included a companion for Adam. God saw that Adam needed a helper, a companion made specifically for Adam by God. So God put Adam asleep, took a rib from the man, made Eve for Adam. By the way, he made male and female, created he them. There's only two genders. Why do we believe that? Oh, just to make a bunch of liberals mad. No, we believe that as Christians 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. We're not going to change because of a bunch of psychos. Okay, gender confusion, come on. Gender confusion is a result of humanistic teaching. If you have a Bible-based viewpoint, you don't have any problems with this whatsoever. And we shouldn't be quiet about it. We shouldn't be ashamed to say it out loud. We shouldn't be ashamed to say, wait a minute, no, that's not right. There's two genders. Okay, there's only two. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what we've believed for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. And yet, you know what's going on. We won't go down that road again, okay? God said it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make an helpmeet for him. Caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept. He took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. You say, preacher, you don't really literally believe that. Yeah, I literally believe that. You know why? Because it literally says that. What the Bible literally says, I literally believe. Wow. Okay, that's not an evolutionary process. That is not an analogy. That is not, no, you know what? He said he put him asleep. You know, if you're taking my rib out, I'd just soon be asleep. Amen. You know, put me out. Put me out. You know, and, but why do you believe that? Listen, by faith. Amen. Why do they believe it? We're going to get into it next week. Why do they believe the opposite? By faith. They just don't want to put their faith in God, so they got to put their faith in something else. And then try to call it science and pawn it off as science. I will prove to you, it is not science. It is not science. You're going to hear this a lot in the last 2 years. Well, we've got to just follow the science. We just got to base it on the science. Well, the Bible talks about science falsely so-called. I mean, that's actually Bible terminology warning us that some things that will be called science is not real science. Okay, so what we've got to do is expose that, especially to our young people. So by faith, I believe the Bible. I choose to. Okay, I choose to put my faith in the Bible. That by faith, I believe the creation account. By faith, I believe that there's a creator God and that it was he who formed the first man out of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the bread of life. I don't believe in any type of evolution, including theistic evolution, which is a compromise, as Christians are trying to seem less non-intelligent when they're actually making themselves seem a lot less intelligent. No, God didn't just create the raw materials a billion years ago and then the whole thing evolved. And we'll get into that, have some fun next week. But I love when I break down their explanations. I love when we say, okay, let's go all the way back to the beginning, because I have an in the beginning moment. What's your in the beginning moment? Just ask them that one question. What is your in the beginning moment in evolution? You know, your scientific theory. What's your in the beginning moment? And they'll say something about, you know, something exploded. Well, what exploded? What went bang? Okay, and where did it come from? And what exactly was it? Well, they're a little fuzzy on that. Well, I'm not fuzzy on what I believe. Okay, and we'll get into that some. But you got to believe by faith, and don't apologize for believing by faith. Okay, I believe that Creator God, formed the first man out of the dust of the earth, breathed his nostrils the breath of life. By faith, I believe shortly after, the Creator God placed a deep sleep upon Adam, took him from his body a rib, created a woman for Adam, and that, from that rib, by faith, I believe mankind was made special and separate from any other creation, that man alone was made in the image and likeness of the Creator. And by the way, what does that do? That way of thinking, that mental view of life, what does that do for me? We'll talk about that next week. Wow. You know what? God took the time. God put the effort in. God created man a special creation. Okay, I'm not just an animal. I wasn't just an afterthought. Everything God created on this earth, he created in such a way to make it wonderful for us, both in the what it looks like, what it provides for us. I mean, that makes, come on, that makes us feel pretty, that ought to make us feel pretty special. We'll look at the other side of the coin next week. Heavenly Father, Lord, pray that you'll help us, dear God. Lord, sometimes I just look this stuff over and I think to myself, how in the world can they with a straight face stand up and are even allowed in this day and age to teach what they teach and hide behind the shield of science? And so, Lord, as we get into this, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to have the ammunition we need, that we're always able to give an answer, willing and ready to give an answer of the faith that lies in us. Lord, help us not to be afraid to use the word faith. Lord, nobody was there. Nobody was there the first day of creation if you believe in God and his creation. Nobody was there the first day of whatever happened if you believe in evolution. So, Lord, faith is involved. May we put our faith in the right thing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.